Again, friends, and welcome to another hour of memorable entertainment as we take another trip back in time to the days before television. I'm Corey Walker, and I invite you to gather around the old part of radio yet again. Today I'm bringing you two great Western series, one of which I haven't featured in quite a long time. Let's start off with Dr. Six Gun, a short-lived Western series which ran from September 2, 1954 until October 13, 1955 on NBC, a time in history where television was already slowly sucking the life out of dramatic radio. The series starred Carl Weber as Dr. Ray Matson, quote, the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian Territory. Dr. Matson, whose nickname was Dr. Six Gun, was a friend and doctor to both white men and Indian, a rather uncommon feature in 1870s Midwest America. Today's episode is from an unknown air date and is titled Baseball in Frenchman's Ford. Enjoy.
Across the rugged Indian Territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another transcribed episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Ray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian Territory. Friend and physician to white and Indian alike, a symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West in the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
The territory is not a particularly light-hearted place. It is a land of blood and death and much misfortune. But it has its moments of gaiety, and most of them bottled and served over the bar at the nearest saloon. Of course, I am invariably lighthearted, but then I am an exception. For I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler, and this is my friend Midnight. He is a raven, but he is no ill omen.
Drink on the house.
Also, he is an optimist. In the territory, there is laughter and gaiety. But sport, in the sense of the East, is notoriously absent. For example, if you ask the average citizen of the town of Frenchman's Ford what was the great American game, he would answer Buffalo and complain that the shooting was bad this year. But there was a time when sport reared its ugly head in the territory, and I was there when it started, sitting with my friend Doc Six Gun at his table at the Bull Run Saloon.
What's the celebration all about, Pablo? You look happy.
Oh, I am, I am. I have just unloaded a pack full of needles and pins and bowie knives on the unsuspecting populace. And I am rapidly transferring the profits to O'Shea behind the bar. Will you join me?
I'll let you buy my coffee.
A pleasure. I would order drinks for the entire house, except I am not drunk enough. And when I reach that state, I will not have money enough.
Well, why don't you compromise by buying a drink for that stranger at the bar? He looks lonesome.
Well, he's not lonesome. He's from Princeton. It appears the same on the surface.
You mean Princeton, Missouri?
No, Princeton, New Jersey.
New Jersey? How do you know he's from way back there?
Well, I rode into town with him on the stage. Doc, you would be amazed at the number of times in the conversation that he managed to bring this fact in.
Yeah, what's so special about Princeton, New Jersey?
Doc, the college.
Oh, yes. I remember something about a college down there. I remember them talking about it when I was up in Boston in medical school. They didn't think much of it.
Please, do not mention that in the company of Mr. Braithwaite.
Is that his name?
Harvey T. Braithwaite, 701.
Oh, no, I don't believe it. He can't be more than 30.
No, Doug. The class of 1871.
Oh.
You know, he's a very interesting man. He's the only fellow I ever heard of who carried his college diploma around like the tail of a kite.
I'd like to meet him.
Well, all right. I'll bring him over. Oh, Mr. Braithwaite.
Yes?
Oh, yes. We've met, haven't we?
We were companions in misfortune on the stage.
I wonder, sir, if you would join me and my friend Doc for a drink.
Doc?
What, you mean a doctor?
Yes, that's right. Well, I suppose it's a courtesy title, and he's a veterinarian or perhaps the undertaker.
Oh, no, no, he's a real doctor. He has a diploma to prove it.
What, you mean a university man?
Mm-hmm.
Here?
Mm-hmm. He went to medical school in Boston. I know that.
Boston? Well, I didn't expect it. Well, I'll be glad to join you.
I got him, Doc. Hey, Mr. Braithwaite. This is Dr. Matson.
I'm pleased to make your acquaintance, Dr. Matson.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Braithwaite. Won't you sit down?
I'm really surprised to find a university man in a place like this.
Well, I've been going downhill for years.
Oh, I didn't mean... Why didn't
me? I understand. Matter of fact, I'm not really a university man. I just went through the medical school.
Well, that's something. I don't suppose you'll believe me when I tell you that I haven't run across a fellow alumnus since passing through Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, I reckon Princeton men are a bit scarce in this part of the country.
Yes, I found that out.
Can I pour you a drink, Mr. Braithwaite?
Yes, thank you.
Well, gentlemen, to the tiger.
The tiger?
What tiger?
Well, there's only one, you know, the Princeton tiger.
Oh, that tiger.
Long may he roar. Well, I'll drink to that. On those days, whiskey, I could roar myself.
I hope you don't think I'm being curious, Mr. Braithwaite, but I wonder what a man of your background is doing in the territory.
Well, Doctor, actually, Doctor. It's supposed to be something of a secret.
Oh, well, never mind.
Oh, I don't mind telling you, a fellow collegian, as it were. You'll understand when I tell you my father is Alfred A. Braithwaite.
He is.
Of course, that makes everything clear.
Well, I suppose it does.
Transparent,
doesn't it? You see, a father has been looking for outlets.
They're hard to find?
Oh, yes, very. You see, Astor's done so well with real estate. Of course, there's a Fifth Vanderbilt crowd. So father considered taking up with cattle.
Oh, you mean your father's a rancher?
Oh, well, not that directly. No, it's a question of whether he'll take it over.
You mean the entire cattle market?
If it's big enough. You see, there's some Chicago interests involved, and of course, father would merely buy them out.
Let me understand this, Mr. Braithwaite. Your father's in a position to buy out all the Chicago stockmen, not to mention the ranchers in his territory?
Oh, no.
Well, I didn't think so.
He wouldn't limit himself to this territory. He could hardly ignore Texas.
Oh.
Could he?
Nobody ever has.
And you see, before father swings into operation, he wants a report.
And, you're acquainted with the cattle business?
Well, not per se. We've had all the reports from the experts, you know, but father wants the opinion of someone who... Well, you'll understand what I mean when I say noblesse oblige.
Yes, I suppose.
You see, all the experts are... Well, let's face it, they're rather self-made men, you know. Father said to me, Mr. Braithwaite, in moments of great importance, he addresses me formally. Mr. Braithwaite, I want a report on the character of this business. I want to know what it looks like to an eye that's cut its teeth and speaks with the tongue of old Nassau. Father's a very forceful speaker.
I'm overwhelmed.
So I'm here to look about and report back to New York within 3 months. You will keep this confidential, won't you, Doctor?
Believe me, Mr. Braithwaite, I wouldn't dare to breathe a word of it.
Excellent! And now I must leave you gentlemen to settle into my digs at the hotel. Now, we must all three get together and exchange pleasant memories of our days on the campus. I am anxious to hear your tales of Cambridge, Doctor. Oh, and yours, sir, of the University of Heidelberg. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Braithwaite.
Luckily, he did not finish his drink.
Pablo.
Hmm?
Did you tell him that you went to the University of Heidelberg?
Oh, well, not exactly, Doc. No, no. I said I stayed a term at Heidelberg. I did. It was 30 days for vacancy. They have a charming 14th century jail.
Do you believe him?
Well, I would not believe him, Doc, but when I was in St. Louis last, I heard of Albert A. Braithwaite. He buys railroads like you and I buy eggs for breakfast.
Oh, but it isn't reasonable. Could old man Braithwaite honestly base a decision like this on that?
Well, would you doubt the words of a man who's on speaking terms with the tiger? Braithwaite wandered around the town of Frenchman's Ford for a few days and then hired a rig and drove out into the range with old Shovel Ears Peters for a guide. It was on his return that the great argument started at the Bull Run. Randy Stewart from the Barrel A was spending 4 months' wages at the Bull Run. He had worked his way 3 weeks in when Harvey Braithwaite stepped up to the bar.
I beg your pardon, potman.
You speaking to me, mister?
Well, you are the pot man, aren't you?
The name is O'Shea, and just because I don't get to do as much riding as I used to, ain't no cause to call me no name.
But you are the publican.
This is my place.
Well, then, I could do with a bit of brandy and a splash of soda.
What do you want to go and put soda in good liquor for? Want it to rise? Like a loaf of bread?
He don't mean baking soda, O'Shea.
Huh?
He means that bottled mineral water you take when you're sick to your stomach.
Well, why don't he say so? I ain't got none.
Oh, brandy and water, then.
As a matter of fact, I ain't got no brandy neither. Mister, you want your whiskey from the barrel or from the bottle?
Ooh, the bottle, I imagine.
You take my advice, stranger, and buy it from the barrel. The nickel cheaper a shot and a layout just as quick.
Why, thank you. You're very kind.
Huh? Shucks. Nothing. Suppose we swap handles, stranger. I'm Randy Stewart from the Barrel Edge.
Oh, Harvey Braithwaite, Princeton 71.
I ain't never heard of that, Fred. Down in Texas somewhere?
By the second month of Randy's pay and the third bottle of O'Shea's whiskey, and Mr. Stewart and Braithwaite were all friends.
Are you sure you don't know Skeet Stewart? I'll never forget the time he climbed the flagpole in front of the Proctor's house and nailed a corset cover to the brass ball.
Hey, you know, Harvey, you're the kind of a buddy a fella wants to ride knighthood with. That's what you are.
Uncanny resemblance to old Skeet. Are you sure you never went to Princeton?
The argument started when the two range companions, or college chums, depending on which side of the conversation you were listening to, got to the point where they were telling each other things that only the best of friends should share.
Well, I'll tell you the trouble with Frenchman's Ford, since you asked.
I don't remember asking nothing. O'Shea, I'll leave it to you. Did I ask anything? Sure you did. You asked for another bottle, and I told you you had enough.
You see, now, the trouble is no sport. You can't have gentlemen without sport.
What do you mean, no sport? Hey, you ain't never been to Silver Lining in Chisholm City, or you wouldn't say that. Now, that's as sporty a place as you're likely to find.
I mean, no sportsman. Now, you take, for instance, the game of baseball.
Of what?
Baseball. You know, with a bat and base runners.
What's the idea of the game? Bat the runners?
Now, you see, that's what I mean. You show me a place that can't provide gentlemen a game of baseball, and I'll show you a place that is... Where was I?
I'll show you a game of baseball.
Couldn't. The room's much too small, and there are too many tables in the way.
I mean, this here town can get up a game just as good as any other place.
Doubt it.
You calling me a liar?
Oh, no. Just a prevaricator.
That's better. I ain't met nobody call me no liar. All right, I'll bet you...
Randy, hey.
You stay out of this, though, Shay.
Listen, Randy, don't bet him. I've seen his role. He's got enough to choke him.
You stay out of this, though, Shay. I'm going to part your head the way you part your hair, right down the middle. Now, Harvey, I'll bet you this here town can get up a game of, what's that little thing called?
Baseball?
Whatever it is, by Saturday.
How much?
Name your figure.
Randy, I warned you.
We'll make it a very small bet, $1,000.
Yeah.
$1,000?
Too small?
No. Well, I just...
Backing out.
You're calling me a welcher?
Hot man.
I told you my...
You may hold the stakes. Here's my $1,000.
I ain't got it in cash. You'll have to take my note.
Between old university men, a hand clasp is enough. The wager is on.
You bet your bottom dollar.
Oh, no. It was only $1,000.
And long sobriety came. Too late. Half an hour the Frenchman Ford had heard the bet, and Randy came to see Doc at noon.
Oh. You sure you've got nothing for this here disease I have in my head, Doc?
You've got quite a hangover, Randy.
I think it was at least one of them brain diseases.
Well, it is in a way. If you had more brains, you'd drink less of O'Shea's whiskey.
Oh?
What's this I heard about a crazy bet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I gave my note for $1,000. You know, I can't even believe it myself this morning.
What's the bet about?
That I can get up a baseball game in Frenchman's Ford by Saturday. It ain't no laughing matter, Doc. Terms of the bet was it's got to be right proper game played. Regular, by the rules.
Well, seriously, you're not going to go through with this, right?
I gave my hand on it, Doc. I ain't never welched on no bet in my life.
Yeah, but Randy, what do these cowpunchers around here know about baseball?
A couple of the hands out the bar A were in the first Ohio Volunteers during the war between the states. They play a little. I reckon I can dig up enough fellas who'll go through the motions on Saturday for a couple of dollars apiece.
Well, I sure want to see that game.
Doc, you ever play baseball?
Me? No. Now, don't get any ideas, Randy. I'm strictly a spectator. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
At 1:30, Harvey came in to see Doc.
I'm sorry to trouble you, Doctor, but I wondered if in your collection of materia medica you perhaps might have an ancient Indian herb that would act as a specific for me?
You got a hangover too, Mr. Braithwaite.
Oh, I'm afraid so. Can't understand it. At the college, I used to spend the whole evening down in Clip at the tavern and then be up at dawn for compulsory chapel.
Well, don't worry about it, Mr. Braithwaite. Just remember, Princeton Flip is not made with O'Shea's whiskey. Incidentally, you're not going through with that crazy bet you made with Randy Stewart.
Oh, yes, the wager. Well, we shook hands on it, and I put up my pledge.
Yeah, but, well, it's so foolish. Surely an educated man like you...
My dear doctor, at Princeton, I have seen several $1,000 change hands over which... plate of molasses would catch the most houseflies at a given time.
But, Mr. Braithwaite...
I have accepted a wager as a true son of old Nassau, and I shall not flunk the test.
Friday afternoon, Randy Stewart was desperate. He had ridden out past the Three Forks country, following a rumor that the homesteader on the Rio Verde had once played second base for an artillery battery of the 4th Vermont Regiment. I saw him when he rode in at night and asked him how it turned out.
Oh, he played second base, all right.
Oh,
played second bass fiddle in the Colonel's symphonic band.
Oh.
He offered to come in and play a couple of polkas.
Well, Randy, how are you doing on your team anyway?
Well, I got Alfie Jones and a couple of his boys in the Flying J.
Mm-hmm.
And Matty Wheelwright from the livery stable. He's a catcher.
Catcher.
I got around up about 5 head of outfielders. Only I'll be doggone if I know where to lay my rope on a single shortstop.
The day of the big game dawned crisp and clear. Jose donated a barrel of beer at the sidelines, and Mr. Braithwaite marched out a baseball diamond in the big corral back of the livery stable at the edge of town. At 2:00, the teams were assembled, and Mr. Braithwaite, in his straw boater and blue pongee jacket, stepped up onto the field as the umpire. He picked his way carefully to home plate, as the livery horses had only been removed from the corral that morning.
Here you are, Mr. Braithwaite. Here's the 2 lineup. They ain't spelled very good, but they're all here.
Very well. What are the names of your 2 teams, Mr. Stewart?
Well, we kind of call them the Pintos and the Wranglers.
I see. Each team will have 5 minutes to acquaint itself with the playing area, and then I will announce play ball.
There's one thing, though. Alvin Murtaugh won't play unless he can carry his gun. You see, he says he ain't had it off since he was 12, and he'd just as soon leave his pants off as his gun.
Well, it's irregular, but I suppose Autrement.
Yes. Where did you learn how to speak Cheyenne?
That babbler. Milt Evers trying to pick up a ball up off the ground. Went right through his leg.
I am not surprised, Doc. Milt has been on a horse consistently since he was 7 years old.
You do, Doctor. Out to witness the match?
I thought I'd take it in. Never thought I'd live to see a baseball game in Trenton Court.
No, in a way, I am glad to see it. You know, I leave tomorrow to make my report to Father.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Well, I must admit at first, I wasn't very impressed with the people of this territory. I was inclined to give a negative report and suggest that Father put his money in transatlantic shipping instead. But with the spirit that I see in this fine sporting event, I am convinced that the Braithwaite would do very well to take over the cattle industry of the West. Now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I believe it's time to commence the match.
Very well, gentlemen. Play ball.
The game started. Although it took 3 batters to convince Slim Gotso, the pitcher for the Wranglers, that the object was not to hit the batter in the head with the ball. As a matter of fact, between O'Shea's beer and the light, pleasant breeze, the game went on in a happy fashion until the 7th inning. The batter was Alvin Murtaugh. He strode up to the plate, swinging the bat that old man Pot had sawed down from the whistle tree.
All right now, Slim. You throw that dang ball in here where I can hit it.
And no wrangling, please, gentlemen. Baseball's a genteel game devoted to good sportsmen.
Yeah, sure, I know. All right, come on now. Throw that ball in here. Are you low down, lily-livered, not-seared son of a...
Please, gentlemen.
You'd like to kill me with that dang thing. I'm warning you, Slim. You throw that ball at me once.
Please,
more
gentlemen. Batter up.
Got dust all over my gun, sir.
And remember, I'm warning you.
Shut up, Alan, and keep your eye on the ball. Here it comes.
Oh, that does it. I told
you. No. No.
Put that gun away.
Would have done justice to the Bull Run on a Saturday night with an outfit of Texas cowpunchers passing through north to the railhead. Al
even missed Slingacho clean with both shots, later claiming that the bat on his other hand had unbalanced him. Both teams abandoned their contest on the diamond for the more familiar contest of joyous and uninhibited mayhem with which the territory usually entertained itself. O'Shea's barrel of beer was split open over Randy Stewart's head, and Mr. Braithwaite was dragged the length of the corral by a horse breaker from the Three Forks country who was under the influence of O'Shea's whiskey and was convinced they had a tremendous white stallion at the end of his rope. Doc and I saw Mr. Braithwaite once again just before the morning stage left for Chisholm City.
I hope you're not too much upset, Mr. Braithwaite. It's just that Frenchman's Ford isn't used to baseball.
Yes, yes, I can understand that. Well, needless to say, I intend to advise my father to stay as far away from the West and the cattle industry as he can possibly get.
Oh, well, I'm sorry you think so badly of us out here. I guess it was a shame to have the game end up in a riot. That must have been pretty strange to you, Princeton man and all.
Oh, no, that wasn't it at all. Why, most of the baseball matches played at Princeton run pretty much the same way, minus gunfire, of course. I remember when old Skeet broke his bat over the umpire's head in the Rutgers match.
But I don't understand, Henry. Why are you advising your father not to go into the cattle business?
But, my dear doctor, why, I discovered that Mr. Stewart had paid those men $3 apiece to play in the game.
What's wrong with that?
But that's professionalism, sir. Rank professionalism. I don't mind losing the bet, but you must realize it's hardly a fit place for a gentleman. Oh, no, sir. If sport in general and baseball in particular are to prosper, we'll never do so with the taint of gross professionalism upon it.
Hold up, Jim Speed.
Well, good day, gentlemen. At least it was refreshing to meet one university man in this wilderness.
And I suppose it was.
This evening, gentlemen, when you down your spirit, remember me and give a toast to the Tigers. Goodbye.
And so, the cattle industry, the town of Frenchman's Ford, territory had not been taken over by Albert Braithwaite after all. And in honor of that, each Saturday night when the cow punchers come into town to the Bull Run Saloon, the first drink is always a toast to the Tiger.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Dr. Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffin. Today's script was written by Ernest Kenoy. Heard in the cast were Bill Lipton as Harvey, Ken Williams as Randy, Tom Holland as Alvin, and William Keane as O'Shea the bartender. Dr. Six Gun is directed by Fred Way. This is Gene Hamilton speaking.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that last episode. You just heard the Dr. Six Gun episode, Baseball and Frenchman's Ford, which was first heard on an unknown air date on NBC Radio. If you haven't heard this series before, I'm not surprised. It ran for just over a year in the mid-1950s before quickly fading into obscurity. Next up, we have an episode from a far better-known series. Hop Along Cassie ran from January 1st, 1950 until December 27, 1952, starting on Mutual and later moving to CBS. The series starred William Boyd as a title character, nicknamed Hoppy, who was the foreman of the Bar 20 Ranch and an ace Western detective. Andy Clyde played Hoppy's colorful sidekick, California Carlson. Today's episode is titled The Disappearing Deputy and was first heard at 4 p.m., on Sunday, August 13th, 1950, on the Mutual Network. Enjoy.
It's Hopalong Cassidy. With action and suspense, out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy. This famous hero thrills his 60 million fans with action and dangerous adventure. In the role of Hopalong Cassidy is the popular star of the motion picture series, William Boyd. And now, another exciting story of the early West. The Disappearing Deputy. It's a long ride from the Bar 20 Ranch to Willow Creek, but Hopalong Cassidy and his pal, California Carlson, were glad to make the trip when they received an urgent request from Hoppy's friend, Ed Lara. Nothing in the note indicated what Ed wanted, but it sounded like he sure needed help. So here they are entering Willow Creek, a bustling little cow town with its narrow main street flanked by the usual one-story weather-beaten storefront and the usual quiet of a hot and sultry afternoon.
Willow Creek sure changed in 10 years, Hoppy.
Just grown a bit. There's the blacksmith shop, post office.
Yeah, that building there, that's kind of new. Must be a saloon with all them signs on it.
Yeah, could have used that lump setter. I can't understand why Ed Lara sounded so desperate in his note.
You think somebody told about his being in prison?
Maybe. Could be some of his old crowd looked him up and are making it for him.
And him being a deputy, he can't say too much.
Well, we'll soon know. There's the sheriff's office right over there.
Hoppy.
Huh?
Look at that fella beating his horse.
Why, that dirty rattler. Come on.
Me, will you crooked cowboy? I'll learn you.
Get away from that horse.
Who said that?
I did.
You got anything to back up your hand, stranger?
I'm not looking for trouble, but don't lay a hand on that horse again.
Oh, you hear that, boy? Bart Benson can't hit his own horse.
Get one side, Bart. I'll handle this hombre. Guess he needs a little working over.
Looking for trouble, eh? Well, you sure found it. We start off this way.
I'm a putting daylight through the butts, gent, who reaches for a shooting iron.
Jed, the sheriff's coming this way.
Nobody's stopping me, Bart. I'll trim his...
You gotta hit him first, Jed.
He means like this, Jed.
All right, get back, huh? Stay your distance.
What's going on here?
Get out of here, on it.
Go on, Rebel, scatter.
Get...
All right, Bart, pick Jed up and get him off the road. And you, stranger, what's your business?
My business is kind of private, Sheriff.
We just saw this Bart fella punching his horse around.
Well, can't blame you there. But this sounds like a powder keg. And this ain't helped none.
Powder keg?
Yeah. One lawman can't do everything. By the way, you never told me your business.
We came to town to look up an old friend.
Well, you sure got a snaky right hand, partner. Jed ain't used to being down, looking up.
Looks like you could use a good right hand, Sheriff.
I sure could, with my deputy carrying lead in his arm.
Deputy? You mean Ed Lara's?
Yeah. Why, yeah. Do you know him?
Sure we know him. He's a friend of ours. Where'll we find him?
Find him? Well, I don't rightly know.
You don't know?
No. Nobody knows. He just disappeared.
back to Hopalong Cassidy and our story, The Disappearing Deputy. Hopalong Cassidy and his pal California Carlson received an urgent letter from Deputy Ed Larrows of Willow Creek. Hoppy, who never deserts a friend in trouble, rode into Willow Creek unknown. The sheriff informs Hoppy that the man he is looking for, Ed Larrows, has disappeared. They're in the sheriff's office now.
Now then, stranger, better begin by telling me your name.
Cassidy.
I write that down. C-A-S-S-I...
Huh? Cassidy. Hopalong Cassidy.
That's just who he is. When he ranched.
Well, doggone. We can cut this chin music out right now, Cassidy. I'm sure glad to shake your hand.
I'm glad to know you too, Sheriff. Now maybe you can tell me more about Ed Larrows.
And I'm afraid he's took us in, Cassidy.
Took us in? Why, that feller's straight as an arrow.
Yeah, I thought so too. But here's a telegram from Denver, an answer to mine. Read it.
Ed Larrows served 3 years in prison, thievery. Parole to Bart Benson last Christmas.
After I trusted him like I would a son.
I think you're moving a little fast there, Sheriff.
Well, doggone it, what am I to think? 4 banks shut up in 1 week, and Ed coming with a slug in his arm? Said he was fighting them.
Then you can believe he was, Sheriff.
Heller ain't gonna run off and hide lugging him.
He ain't been near the dock since he put a cast on his arm. Yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you. On the last 2 holdups, one of the men had a cast on his arm. Of course, it was under his coat, but... They could tell when the wind blew the coat open.
I'd bet my horse against a bag of stale jelly beans that Larrows ain't the man.
You're right, California. Well, Sheriff, if you don't have any objections, I'd like to help you look for Larrows.
You got my word, and I'm obliged to you no end. Where are you going now?
Not California and I'd walk over to the doc's office.
Doc's office? Thinking he knows something?
Never can tell. He might know if 2 men were wearing casts on their arms.
Sure a funny place to have to go to find a doctor.
Yeah. Maybe he's at the lunch counter eating. Come on.
What'll it be, gents?
Could you point out the doctor to me?
Well, you're the first customer I ever had who got sick before yet.
Oh, he ain't sick. Just wants to talk to him.
Oh, that's different. Doc will be back in a minute. That's his cup of coffee next to you there.
While we're waiting, could you get me a stack of flapjacks or 10 high?
Right.
Know a man by the name of Larrows?
Yes, I do. He's the best man in this town. There's them that'd like to make him pay for what they're doing.
But no one can find him.
They'll find him when the lawbreakers are caught. I'm just a-hoping and a-waiting till he can come in again like he always did and say, liverwurst on bread. Hold the mustard and pile on the pickles.
Gosh, he sure was particular about his victuals.
Oh, well, what's your heaven, mister?
Coffee.
Be right with you. Get the flapjack.
Her girlfriend. Did she know something?
If she does, she isn't saying it. Yet.
Yet? How do you mean?
Shh. Here comes Benson over the corner.
Darned if his face ain't gonna spoil my victuals.
Well, did you find the doc, Cassidy?
I'm waiting.
I just saw him going in his office a minute ago. You might catch him there.
I ain't a budging until I get my flapjacks.
Got me 2 silver dollars here, Bart. Pick him to the line.
Ready and willing to accommodate you, friend. Excuse me a minute, Cassidy. Business before pleasure.
That's the line, and I'm picking.
Well, doggone. Look, Hoppy, ain't an inch away from the line.
And I think I can beat that.
He done it, Hoppy, he done it. Right smack across the line.
I think I'll save my other dollar, Bart. You're too darn good for me.
Don't yourself, friend. It's your deal.
Sure takes wonderful control to lay a silver dollar across the line.
Ah, it ain't nothing. Kind of a hobby with me.
Bart Benson.
Oh, excuse me. Someone calling. I'll see you later.
I'm sure you will, Bart.
Yeah. Oh, you're standing talking nice like to that Cassidy, and after the way he clipped me this morning.
Shut up. Did you take the back way in and out of town?
sure did. Nobody seen me.
You gotta be more careful now Cassidy ain't around.
But I should blast him, boss.
It won't work. Just cause more trouble. I'll handle him, all right. You just keep the others till we do two more jobs. And we'll head for the border.
I'm leaving a slug in that middling cowpoke, Cassidy.
Now, there's nobody outdrawing him. We gotta outsmart him. And I'm doing it every minute. Now, you get back on up to the hideout. Keep an eye on that deputy. If he gets loose, we're sunk.
Don't worry, boss. There ain't nobody out thinking me.
Then get on back there. Right in tonight, we'll plan the last two jobs.
Yeah, it sure was a good idea putting a cast on your arm and letting them see it.
If I ever hear you talking like that again, you'll be buzzard bait, Jed.
Sorry, boss.
And I mean that. You be careful nobody trails you when you leave town.
Don't worry, I'm awake. I'll get them sandwiches for the deputy and get back up there.
Don't do any cooking up there at the hideout. The smoke will bring snoopers around.
I know that. What do you think I'm getting sandwiches
for? The sheriff's going around in a circle. And I ain't having any trouble fooling Cassidy. Everything's running right.
Good thing nobody knows I'm working for you. Lets me keep my ears open.
Just so it ain't your big mouth. Now go on. And tell the boys we split the Abigail mine payroll tonight.
Good. Be like taking candy from a kid. Ah, you're sure smart, Benson.
Yeah, I'll see you at the water hole at sundown. Gonna need some help making up another cast for tonight.
Doc Fletcher?
Yes.
Right. You're looking at him if your eyesight is good. My name is Cassidy. I'm working with the sheriff to bring a little law and order to this town.
Oh? Working with the sheriff, eh?
That's right. I think you can help me, Doc.
Well, I don't know if that's true. The doctor has to learn many things, and one of the first things is to keep his mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Did you say your name is Cassidy? Hopalong Cassidy?
That's right.
Hmm. Well, now, that makes it a little different. What was it you wanted to know?
You put a cast on Deputy Lara's arm about a week ago.
That I did.
Have you had any reason to put a cast on anyone else's arm?
What are you getting at?
A lot depends on my knowing, Doc.
Well, seeing it that way, I can tell you that's the only cast I know of.
In your opinion, could a man make his own cast?
Well, I guess he could. A temporary one. Could make it out of Dolby mud, but wouldn't hold up very long. It crumbled pretty fast. Unless it was held together.
That's what I wanted to know, Doc. Thanks a lot.
I don't know that that's going to help you none, but you're welcome anyways.
You've helped more than you know. It may put a good man back on his feet.
About time you was getting back, Hoppy. Doggone it, I waited round till I had to order another stack of them flapjacks.
Yeah. Doc says the only cast he made was for Deputy Lara.
Oh, now ain't that a shame. Maybe we're all wrong, Hoppy.
No, I don't think so.
Shirley, you wait on me pronto?
Just wait your turn. You can see I'm busy.
Well, I got some riding to do.
You ain't gonna do it from here.
I'm leaving this note. Fill the order, and I'll be back pronto to pick it up.
Leave it there. I'll get it if I can.
Be back in 10 minutes. Have him ready.
Hey, that's that fella Jed that you smacked yesterday. Oh, he don't look none the better for connecting with your right arm.
Yeah. Hmm.
Jed, what are you reading other folks writing for, Hoppy?
California. This note.
Hmm?
When this fella comes back trailing...
Oh, but doggone it, Hoppy. I got flapjacks.
There's no time to argue. I'd be through you this part. You trail him and don't lose sight of him.
Oh, what for?
See what that note says? 2 liverwurst sandwiches on bread. No mustard. And pile on the pickles.
Hoppy and his pal, California, are trying to solve the mystery of the odd disappearance of Deputy Ed Larrows, a friend of Hoppy. A series of holdups have taken place, and the deputy is under suspicion because he is wearing a cast on his arm, and the holdup man also wears a cast. California has taken up his trail while Hoppy talks to Sheriff Parker.
Blasted coyotes. Cleaning out the Abigail Mine payroll last night. Cassidy, I'm going around in circles, getting nowhere. Pointing at me on the street.
Now, calm down, Sheriff.
To think I was good enough to give that darn deputy a chance, knowing his record like I did.
Still think it's Lara's, huh?
Of course it is. Nobody else wearing a cast, or somebody would see him.
Sheriff, speaking about the cast, where would a fellow be apt to find Dobie around here?
Well, ain't much of any account, lest it would be on Baker's Spread out of town a mile.
Anywhere else?
No, well, yes, back in the drawways where that little Chief Creek runs into the Tram Creek. Muddy as all get out.
I guess I can find it all right.
Say, what's this Dobie Mudd got to do with this thieving and robbing?
I'm going to look around out there. Maybe pick up an answer or two.
I just thought of something. Where's that pal of yours?
I was just wondering that myself.
Huh? You mean you don't know where he is, none of that?
Not just at this minute. He'll be around soon.
Well, the way I got it figured, Laros ain't far from here. The feller ain't leaving that gal.
I agree with you, Sheriff. And the fellow in love is going to see that girl, if he's able to.
Meaning what?
Meaning I don't think he can see her. I'm tying a few loose ends together, and when I do, it'll make a rope.
All right, tell me the man, and I'll jail him this minute.
It's not that easy, Sheriff. Now I'd better get back to the cafe. California's back yet, he'll probably be at the cafe. Trying to look over the top of a stack of flapjacks.
We were just gonna look you up, Hoppy.
Put down the fork a minute.
Oh, Hoppy, flapjacks ain't no good when they're cold.
Did you trail a fellow with the sandwiches?
He went about 10 miles out of town. Went in a small draw or some creek was running out of.
Go on.
I didn't take no chance of following him in, but it's sure a good place to hide out.
Did he know he was being trailed?
I swear he didn't see me, unless he's smarter than I am.
We know that fellow was taking those sandwiches to Ed Lara's. Is Ed afraid to come in, or is he unable to?
Looks like Bart Benson wants to get in on the gab, and he's heading this way.
And don't sell him short. He's nobody's fool.
You think he suspects we followed his friend?
I'll soon find out. I hope to find out something else, too.
Any trace of Laros, Cassidy?
I asked the sheriff the same thing a while ago. He didn't say yes or no. Just said he'd been trailing someone. But he's been doing that for a week.
He sure has.
I'll bet even money Laros has let out, cast and all.
I don't believe Laros got a thing to do with it.
Maybe you got an idea who has.
Just the idea is all.
Bart, I got $2 silver here, and they're yours if you can outpitch me to that crack in the floor.
Well, now that'll be the easiest $2 I ever earned. Pitch them out, Cassidy.
Hey, you ain't missed it by more than 3 inches, Hoppy.
You gotta get closer than that. Watch this. Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned, a foot away from the crack.
Yes. Guess I'm slipping.
You can do better than that, Benson. Try again.
I'll lead off this time.
Shoot.
Well, doggone my hide if you ain't missed it by more than 10 inches.
Hold it. Don't show, Cassidy. It's yours. Can't figure out what's wrong with my pitching arm.
Looks like you're just not concentrating.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Got that many darn things on my mind.
Yeah, sure wish I had a few dollars to throw. I could get me some jelly bean money right pronto.
Yeah, maybe find somebody to throw with you. For me, I gotta get busy. If I can help you any, Cassidy, let me know. I'm willing to work with you.
You've proved that, Benson.
I bet he's mad he lost, Hoppy. His face was sure red. Hey, how come you took advantage of him when you saw he wasn't pitching him good? You ain't listening. What are you thinking?
I was just watching the sandwich man, Sigmund Benson.
Sandwich man? Oh, Jed, you mean, yeah. He sure come back here pronto. Hey, you think something's wrong?
I think you're mistaken when you say he didn't see you trailing him.
Doggone it, and I was sure careful, too.
Oh, I'm glad he saw you, California.
You are? How come?
It's going to play right into my hand. It's working out better than I hoped.
What are you doing back here, Jed?
Bart.
That old cowpoke followed me to the pass. I hid out waiting for him, but he hightailed it back here.
You clumsy ox. This changes our whole plan.
Well, doggone it, boss. I didn't know he was trailing me. Now they'll find Lara's up there in the hideout.
Just what we want.
What we want? Are you plumb loco, Bart?
No. Laro don't know who slugged him. I'm still his friend. He swear to that.
Well, how's that helping us?
Well, here's what we do. Now, you come running in and say you just rode in from the pass and you saw Ed Laro. Then the sheriff will get a posse. While everyone's gone, we shake the dust off our feet.
Bart, you're a mighty smart man.
Yeah, I sure am. Now, get out the back way, wait half an hour, and ride in and tell us the good news. I'll have the horses out and back, all ready to ride.
We've been standing out here by this darn hitch rail for half an hour. Ain't nothing happened yet.
I don't know as it will. I'm just hoping.
Yeah, I suppose the holdup galoot is going to ride up and say, I'm the man, lock me up.
On that order.
Why, you ain't got a smidgen of proof.
That all depends on the next move.
Oh, here comes Sheriff Parker. Sure looking glum.
Don't let anything drop. We may be wrong.
Picking up anything, Cassidy?
Not quite sure, Sheriff.
I kind of feel like I kept you from going about your business. I shouldn't have asked you to stay.
We'll be leaving in the morning.
Guess you're kind of convinced that Ed Laro's fooled you as bad as he fooled me.
You still think he's guilty, eh, Sheriff?
He's had plenty of time to prove he ain't. I don't see him doing it. Well, look at this rider coming. Must be something after him.
He's heading for the hitch rail, too.
Hey, it's the Jed feller, Hoppy.
Sheriff! Sheriff, I seen him. I seen Ed Laro's back in the draw.
Where at?
Just past Bork in his scrub oak. Brown shack. Get a posse.
I've been waiting for something like this. Get the boys rounded up. We're riding for Bald Rock.
I'll round up the boys, all right. And then we're going to spring them up.
You coming, Cassidy?
Might as well. Come on, California.
Well, doggone, your plan sure fizzled out.
I don't think so. I'd say it's falling right on out.
All right, boys, let's ride. The posse will be right behind us. Not much further now. The posse's almost up with us.
The crowd sure is in an ugly mood, Sheriff.
Have I got your word you'll protect him from this posse, Sheriff?
He's my prisoner. Ain't no posse alive can take him from me.
Good, because this is as far as we go.
Huh? Well, what's wrong?
California and I are going back to town.
Back to town? You ain't going to be doing no good in town. Barrows is back in the draw.
I think I know what I'm doing, Sheriff. As soon as we ride around these boulders, we're getting out of sight till the posse goes by.
You ain't going to need us anyhow.
Ain't no way I can go but straight ahead. Well, you boys do as you darn please.
And better get back to town with Lara, Sheriff. We may need your help.
My help? In town?
Here's where we turn back, Sheriff.
I'll be back soon, and I'll show you Lara.
You'd better, and I'll show you your bandit. Slow down here, California. Keep out of sight till I go by.
Oh, doggone it, Hoppy. You're going back to town and miss all the fun.
The fun's all over. Our work is just beginning. I hope we get back in time, California.
Now, look here, Hoppy. Seems like you're pretty darn sure of something. You ain't got one bit of proof.
Then we'll get a confession.
Don't know how.
I do. Let's tie off back to the blacksmith shop.
Yeah. Where are we heading?
In back of Benson's place. Two stores down this way.
Hoppy, there's Benson's horse. The one he was beating.
Then we're in time. Stay here and cover me. I want to look at that horse.
Oh, I'm trying to catch a bandit, but got time to be looking over horse flesh. I've seen Hoppy do crazy things, but I ain't never seen him admiring a horse when it's shooting time.
California, we're right.
Hmm?
Shh. Someone coming out the back door.
It's Benson. It looks like he's leaving.
Get over there, you lazy critter. Get.
Why, that...
Don't reach for your iron, Benson.
Why, you...
I told you not to reach for that iron, Benson.
You sweet back polecat, I can
see. Don't look like you're gonna do nothing, Benson. I got your shooting iron.
You're not very smart, Benson.
I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't done nothing.
You know, what are you running from, then?
Running? I ain't running. I was gonna go help the sheriff.
Help them catch an honest man who you had parole to you so you could use him in your escapade. Knowing he had a record, he was a handy man to take the fall, eh, Benson?
Can't hang a man without proof, and you ain't got none.
When I first met you, Benson, you were beating your horse. And when a man will do that, he'll bear watching.
Ah, this ornery coyote.
Let me finish. And I wish the horse could understand what I'm saying. Because your horse will furnish all the proof we need. That you're the bandit with a cast on his arm.
Back to Hopalong Cassidy.
Cassidy, that Bart Benson's walking up and down in his cell raving about a horse.
It's a mighty important horse, too, Sheriff. He's your whole case.
A horse?
Yep, Hoppy's right.
When I talked to Doc the other day, he said a man could make a cast out of 'dobe mud.
Well, I don't see how the horse fits.
But they all told me the 'dobe would crumble if something didn't hold it together.
I still don't see how...
So, what's better to hold mud together than horse hair? Nice, long hair cut off the horse's tail.
Well, I'll be darned. And all the time the horse was standing around just overrunning with proof.
Took Hoppy to see it.
But what give you the idea?
Well, Sheriff, in the first place, Bart Benson was a dead shot in pitching silver dollars. But when a fella's been wearing a cast very often, his arm gets pretty lame and helpless.
So you knew when you beat him pitching dollars what was wrong with him, huh?
Right. But still no proof. However, it gave him the lead I needed.
Well, it's the doggonest thing. How did you figure it out, Hoppy?
Somebody told me, Sheriff.
Don't get it.
Don't you remember that saying, horses carry tails?
Huh? Huh? Oh.
Goodbye from Hoppy in California. They'll be back soon with an exciting story you won't want to miss. Meanwhile, don't forget to see Hopalong Cassidy at your local theater. Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr. The Disappearing Deputy was written by Howard Swart. All stories are based upon the characters created by Clarence E. Mulford. This is a Commodore production.
Well, what a terrific episode. You were listening to The Disappearing Deputy from the series Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd as Hoppy and Andy Clyde as California Carlson. The episode was first heard on the evening of Sunday, August 13, 1950, on Mutual Network. You know, I always enjoy watching or listening to Hopalong Cassidy. I have several DVDs of Hoppy movies sitting on my bookshelves at home. And in my mind, the radio programs are just as good as the movies. Sadly, I'm afraid that our time together is almost up for this week. I look forward to you joining me again next week for another trip back in time to explore the vaults of radio history. I welcome your feedback and requests. You may email me at Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com, or you may send me snail mail at Old Part of the Radio, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a wonderful week.